Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I'll read the translation, we're short of time. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities. Who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. Who is equal in both happiness and distress. Who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. And Prabhupada explains, coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8 it is stated, Tenu kampam susamikshamano bunjani vatma kritam vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I'm not getting all the punishment I am due. I'm just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. So these are very profound words. And as I was saying previously, the reason I chose this verse in purport is because it had a great effect on my life. And I can see how important it is for all of us to have this understanding. Even though this understanding is easy to have on the intellectual level, it's not so easy to internalize and to live by. We can repeat this verse and the purport, and it sounds very nice, very sweet, very lofty, and very much in line with what a great soul can think and feel. At the same time, it is not beyond each of us to have the same feelings, the same understanding, to develop this gradually more and more. So what is that understanding that's so important? Especially in this day and age that we're living in, and we've discussed this over the past few days that we've been having classes at different people's homes. We've been discussing this point, so I thought I would talk about it in a little more depth, and there are more people here, because this particular point that Prabhupada is making here is of great interest to many of us, and specifically. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, and it's explained in the verse, that a devotee is a kind friend to all living entities. Everyone feels friendship, feels friendly to everyone, even to his so-called enemy. It's explained here in the purport that he doesn't become his enemy's enemy. In other words, even though someone is inimical to him, he doesn't become inimical to that person. Even though that person has offended him or her, he doesn't feel like offending that person back. On the contrary, he feels like a kind friend to that person. And that's a very lofty state. And it's a state whereby one can experience great happiness and not be in distress in any circumstance, not just circumstances caused by other human beings, but any circumstance. And what is the understanding that's being given here to bring one to that point? Prabhupada explains, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own misdeeds. This person is acting as my enemy due to my own misdeeds. This is called karma, right? What we do in the past comes back to us. So if we've caused somebody harm in the past due to our insensitivity and our desire to exploit, how do we learn how to not cause harm in the future? By that same experience happening to us. I always remember in the late 60s and early 70s, we used to go door to door to distribute books. Sometimes we go in very, very nice neighborhoods. And what would happen when we rang the doorbell? Either nothing at all would happen, or the maid would come to the door and say, no, thank you. Or perhaps the owner came to the door and said, no, thank you, and closed the door in a very firm way. We'd go to the poor neighborhoods, and people would welcome us like anything. We'd explain what we were doing, helping people in distress, giving them spiritual understanding. We have a free food distribution program. And they would say, oh, thank you so much. I know what it's like to be miserable. I know what it's like to be hungry. Sure, definitely. Please take a donation and I'll read your book. Because they felt what it's like. So they've learned. They've learned what it means to suffer through their own suffering. And sometimes we need that, just like all of those wealthy people. Of course, some of them were nice. It's not that every wealthy person is like that. But those wealthy people haven't experienced that. So due to that, they're insensitive. And sometimes we have to learn how to be sensitive by having a little suffering come our own way. So this is all arranged by God. This is all arranged by Krishna for us. If he sees we need to learn something the hard way, because we're not learning it any other way, then he gives us what we call in America, what kind of love? Tough love. Krishna's expert. Tough love. And we have to see it like that. We have to see it like that. We can't think, why me? Why is God doing this to me? There is no God. It's all right if it happened to everybody else all these years. We don't think about it then, but when it happens to us, what's going on? Why am I suffering? So either we get angry at God, and very often we get angry at the person who's causing us the suffering. But is that person causing us the suffering? That person has his or her own problems, wants to cause suffering. But why us? Krishna makes that transcendental arrangement because we need this to happen to us in order to learn how to not inflict suffering upon others or how to not be inimical to others. So that's why it's happening, but that person's not causing it. We're causing it due to our own previous activities, our own previous misdeeds. That's what's being explained here There are other verses also throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, stories that explain and demonstrate exactly the same thing. So why can an advanced soul, and all of us can advance, why is an advanced soul feeling like a kind friend to everybody? Why is that? Because he or she understands this. He understands this. And as we were discussing the other night, rather than feeling inimical towards this other person, he or she feels compassion towards this other person. Sorry for this other person. Why is that? Because this other person will have to suffer in the same way that I'm suffering now because of doing what to someone else what this other person is now doing to me. Did you follow that? I'll say it again. Just to make sure I said it right. This person will have to suffer in the future for doing to me and causing me to suffer because of what I've done in the past to someone else, which is why ultimately I am suffering. So I'm feeling sorry for this person because he's going to have to go through exactly what I'm going through now. And it's not so good, but I'm learning a lot. I'm realizing it's humbling me. It's humbling me. It's making me understand how insensitive, how much harm one can cause by one's activities. And this is humbling me. And also because, just like thinking, why me? A person who is proud thinks like that. Why me? Why me? Why not me? And how is a devotee thinking? Actually, thank you. Actually, I deserve worse. Not that I don't deserve this. Yes, I deserve this, but more. Because when one becomes situated in such a way that one is trying to render service, trying to do the right thing, Krishna sees this, God sees this. And because he sees we're learning our lesson, the punishment doesn't have to be as severe. It's a token. Just like if you're punishing your child for doing something wrong, if you see the child has learned the lesson, what's the need for so much punishment? Right? Maybe a little bit, just as a reminder, not to do it again. But that's the whole purpose of punishment, so we won't do it again. So that's why Krishna minimizes our karmic reactions, our bad karma, our sinful reactions. If we're actually surrendering, if we're actually learning how to live properly and harmoniously, then there's no need for suffering so much. Just a token. So that's why a devotee is thinking, and he's not making this up. This is the actual reality. Actually, because of my own previous misbehavior, I'm suffering. But because Krishna is so merciful, suffering so much less than I really should have been. So this is how we should think. And why should we think this way? Because it's true. This is the reality. And if we can internalize this, then we'll never become angry at anyone again. We won't harbor misgivings. We won't harbor an inimical mentality towards anyone who's been inimical towards us. We will be able to forgive, because it's actually not that person that we have to forgive. It's ourselves that we have to forgive for getting ourselves in such a difficult situation. So if any forgiving has to go on, it should really go on towards ourselves. And just like we want others to forgive us for our transgressions, We also should want to forgive others and should want to forgive ourselves for our transgressions. Not that we aren't conscious of them. We understand them, and then we go forward to explain that lamentation of one's previous activities. That's the mode of ignorance. And what does that do for us? Nothing. It takes away our enthusiasm for going forward and for doing better the next time. And many people are caught in this cycle of lamentation and become very enthusiastic about everything. Not that we're not concerned with what we've done in the past. But to really be concerned means to go forward and to become purified, understand our mistakes, understand what Krishna is trying to teach us from everything that's coming to us, because there's a lesson to be learned from absolutely everything. So what is that lesson? And what is the proper way to act? What is the godly way to act and feel? If we have the desire to act and feel in the right way, that ability will come to us. So this lesson, especially nowadays, this is the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga. This lesson is so important. Husband and wife, they have so many problems. Friends have so many problems. Business partners have so many problems. Institutions have so many problems. Nations, this whole world. There's so much anger, so much animosity. To the point of where people are killing one another, or where people can't concentrate on anything other than hating the people that they hate, or disliking those who have offended. So how can one chant Hare Krishna? How can one meditate if all these things are going around in one's mind? So-and-so did this to me. I don't like so-and-so. I'm going to get back at so-and-so by doing that. It goes on and on and on. No need to give examples of how the mind works. We know how our minds work. So how to become free from all that? Just think what a burden would be lifted off our consciousness if we didn't feel any ill will or animosity or ill feelings towards anybody. Just felt good. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities. All living entities. And Prabhupada always gives the example of Jesus. How after they nailed him to the cross, he was feeling compassion, saying, please forgive them, my Lord, because they're acting out of ignorance. So that's there for us to try to live by ourselves. And all these examples are there. So we read Bhagavad Gita, just like these young children so nicely memorized these slokas. That's necessary to understand what Krishna is saying, what great souls are saying. And then the next step is to put it into practice. Put it into practice. So that's our challenge. And especially, at least for me, understanding such as this understanding is of the utmost importance for us to better our relationships with others, to better our relationship with God, to better our relationship with ourselves, and to be able to clear the path for being able to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, without all this interference going on in the mind. How wonderful would it be to be able to just chant Hare Krishna without being mentally disturbed and just focus on that transcendental sound vibration. So it takes practice. And if we're practicing living our lives, trying to live our lives in a godly way, Krishna will reciprocate gradually. And gradually our mind will become clear. We'll be able to focus on the holy name, pastimes, qualities of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So that's our goal. So we have 2 minutes for questions, comments. Yes.
It's our nature, it seems to be, a tradition being, of how an animal, I mean, like, it stepped on, you want to fight back. And so that's so deeply bred into us. So what does that actually process? I mean, we're going to be chanting for 10, 15 years, whatever. But what is the process that enables us to actually let go of? There's a certain kind of negative sense gratification that comes from the, disliking somebody or hating somebody or feeling resentful. So how does one let go of that or open up their hearts for something much better to come in?
Yeah, just like Arjuna says, it's so difficult to control the mind. It's like controlling the raging wind. And another place Prabhupada says, Arjuna said, it's so difficult to control the mind. It's like controlling a hurricane. Because during a hurricane, the wind is like that, raging wind. So Prabhupada used the word hurricane. And what does Krishna say? It's possible. If you strive by right means, and he also says by constant practice and detachment. So we have to practice. The intelligence is higher than the mind. The intelligence can control the mind. So when we find our minds going off and thinking like that, we have to bring it back, put it under the control of the intelligence. And this is, as Krishna explains in the Gita, one reads the Gita. When one does so, one worships him by his intelligence, because Krishna is purifying our intelligence. He's showing Arjuna and everyone else the right way to understand this world. So if we could remember verses and purports like this, gradually we'll be building new pathways in the brain, because these habits they have very long life. They go back lifetimes. Like you said, response, fight or flight, something like that. Immediate automatic response. Just like if something goes wrong, automatically you blame someone else. Something goes right, automatically you praise yourself. It's automatic. So how do you change that? We have to understand. So for me, it's been very helpful to try to always remember these words. And Prabhupada talks like this in many places. In the scriptures. So simply having the desire is the first step, and then acting on that desire. Try to incorporate this understanding, even though we might not feel it. Eventually it will come. Eventually those feelings of love and compassion will come. And just like anything else, it's a whole package, it's a whole recipe to make it come out right. Just like Prabhupada explains, we have to be able to hear this knowledge with an unagitated mind. In that way, we'll be able to absorb it, internalize it, hear it with rapt intention, and have it go to the heart. And then he explains what enables the mind to be free from agitation so that we can go deeper like that. And he explains following the regulative principles of spiritual life will calm the mind, strengthen the intelligence. A weak mind or a strong mind and a weak intelligence is a very bad combination, right? But a strong mind and a stronger intelligence will work, because then we can control the mind, which is, as Arjuna was explaining, like the raging wind. So difficult, it's flickering and unsteady. Chanchala, very flickering and unsteady. As we meditate, we realize that, especially if you're trying to control your mind. Some who chant Hare Krishna will say, well, it's not difficult. No, it's not difficult following your mind all over the universe. That's easy. But when you try to control it, then you really see how difficult it is to bring it back. Bring it back. Keep bringing it back under the control of the self. So constant practice, detachment, and being in a situation where you're associating with others who are trying to do the same thing. And not many people are trying to act like this. As you were saying, Many people take great pleasure in acting the other way. That's why newspapers or the news, wherever you get it from, is so popular. There's some satisfaction we're getting. It's all bad news, except for someone who won a game. And that happens once in a while. But then there's always someone who loses. So most of the time it's bad news. So why do we keep reading it? There must be some gratification there. I forgot what I was saying, forgot the point I was making, that last point. But the point is, it's not at all healthy. We have to associate with those, that's right, who want to go in the other direction, and will have an effect. That will have an effect on our consciousness, that good association. Like we'll want to do the same thing. Just like these little kids, they're seeing the bigger kids. They go to the Sunday school and they're learning these verses. They want to be like the big kids. So we're little kids spiritually. If we associate with the bigger kids spiritually, then that will help us a lot if we want to be like them. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I wish you all success in your endeavors to purify your lives and be good people for yourselves and everyone else around you.